Welcome to our third sermon in our sermon series entitled, Five Decisions That Will Change Your Life. Today's sermon title, Decision 3, I Will Apply the Slight Edge Principle. Open your Bible to Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9, and let's begin.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity to be together and to learn and to grow. Father, every day you give us opportunities where we can create a better future in our lives or we can create a worse one. Help us to understand, Lord, the law of the harvest. Help us to be very wise and discerning about the things that we sow in our life. And Father, we pray we could reap a life of rich character, deep, meaningful relationships, and a powerful life with you. And we ask for your help and your blessing on that. In Jesus' good name, amen. Well, I've been reading recently the story about Marcus Aurelius. And Marcus Aurelius was a second century Roman emperor. And he's known as one of the good emperors. If you remember, you know, third grade history class, there's a lot of crazy ones in there that just killed a lot of people and were egomaniacs and everything like that. But Marcus Aurelius was much different. He was really thoughtful. He was kind of a wise guy. And one of the reasons he's more well-known than the other Roman emperors is because he wrote these meditations. And these meditations were actually just his journal entries towards the later part of his life. And when you read them, they're really fascinating because you're getting into the mind of someone who has, at that time, is literally the most powerful person in the world and kind of has the whole world in his hands in a way, and you get to see what he struggles with and what's going on inside of him, and it's pretty fascinating to read. But Marcus Aurelius, he had this vision of the world that people call Stoicism. It's kind of a philosophy. And Stoicism is this idea that we really are not in control of our lives, but that everything that's going to happen, it's going to happen no matter what, and you can't do anything about it. And kind of the way that Stoicism explains itself is they say it's like a dog being dragged behind a cart. The dog can just either, you know, kind of run and keep up with the cart, or he can resist and be dragged along. But either way, he's going wherever that cart's going. Kind of an unpleasant way to think about life, isn't it? And this was kind of his view on how the world works. And I find that interesting because what our view is on how the world works really determines how we live every single day. And we get to see and read his philosophy and understand it from an objective point of view, but I want us today to think about how do we understand how the world really works? How do we understand this gift of life that God has given us? Because we're going to read today, we're one of the great writers of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. He says, life is not like a cart and you're the dog getting dragged behind, whether you like it or not. He said, but life is like you are this big field. And in this field, you can plant good seeds and you can cultivate them and you can harvest them. Or in your field, you can kind of plant bad seeds and you can cultivate those and you can harvest those. But his point is that all of us have been given by God a tremendous capacity to influence our life for better or worse. Now, I think what's appealing about Marcus Aurelius's approach to life is that if you believe that, then you kind of don't have any responsibility for your own life. That makes sense? It's easy just to say, well, if I'm just being dragged along, why try? Why change? Why do anything different? I can't affect it anyway. But what the Apostle Paul is going to say is he's going to say, no, a lot of the direction and quality of our life is not in the hands of someone else, but it's in our own hands. And so what that means is we have this incredible responsibility, but also this opportunity to influence our life in better ways if we don't like where it's at right now. You with me on this? And this is his approach. And I love that, and I find that really hopeful, because what it means for us is that we are possibly just a few decisions away from a much richer life with Jesus Christ. That every one of us are just a few decisions away from a better life with God if we'll take the opportunity to make those decisions and to understand it. So today we're going to dig into this passage in Galatians chapter 6. And it's this really powerful, powerful idea. It sounds so simple at first, but as you see when we dig into it, I think there is tremendous power. And we're going to start at verse 7. And again, the great apostle Paul, he wrote this about 2,000 years ago to a bunch of churches that were scattered in this area of Galatia. And this is one of the first books in the New Testament that was written. So it's kind of interesting. It's maybe like the second book, very, very early, only a few years after Jesus died and rose again. And here's what he says, verse 7. He says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." So he uses this idea of reaping and sowing. Now, many of you, you're probably not like me. I grew up on a farm. Every day there was reaping and sowing. No, just kidding. I did go to like Red Wagon Farms one time as a third grader. So I think that qualifies me as an expert on agriculture. But this would have been a very common image in Paul's day. And he says, look, this is how life works. You reap. You put out seed. You cultivate your field. And whatever you plant will grow. So he says, make sure you're planting the right things. Make sure you're sowing in the right areas so you get the harvest that you actually want in your life. And it's an incredibly simple idea, but it's so powerful when we apply it to our lives. There's a great book called The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson. And he's not writing about this idea from a Christian perspective, but what he argues in the book is this whole idea of this harvest principle. But he calls it the slight edge, and here's how he explains it. He says, the slight edge, you could call these little virtues or success habits. I call them simply daily disciplines. Simple productive actions repeated consistently over time. That, in a nutshell, is the slight edge. So his point in this whole book, and if you want to read it, I definitely think it's worth checking out, is he says that every day we're sowing. We don't always realize it. But every day we're making little decisions. Our habits are sowing, in a sense. And every day, those little decisions, those little habits, they add up over the course of our time to create our lives. And so he says, if you don't like what's happening, then it doesn't start with big, tremendous change, but it starts at a very small level and saying, every day, where am I sowing? What am I investing in? Where am I putting my energy? What are my habits? And if I want a different harvest, how can I sow differently? And Jeff Olson says, if you can understand that dynamic, then we can all influence the trajectory of our lives. And this is Paul's idea. Paul just said it 2,000 years ago. So I want to talk about three things about it. First, I want us to dig into this and understand it. And I'm just going to call it the law of the harvest. So what is it? Dig a little more deeply. Then I want to talk about how that impacts not only all the other aspects of our life, but especially the spiritual and the internal part of our life. And then third, I want to talk about the challenge of the law of the harvest. So kind of what it is, how it affects our internal worlds, and then the challenges of it. So let's talk about the first one. What is the law of the harvest? Well, it means this, that God has built certain laws into the world that when we obey them, and honor them, it makes our lives healthier. And when we fight against them, it deteriorates our life. So when we read through the scriptures and we read God's ideas about how we should live, God isn't giving us direction because he just wants to make more life more difficult than it has to be. He gives us those ideas and those commands in that direction so that we can know how to function best in life. And so when Jesus says things like, hey, forgive other people, he's not just saying that to make life harder on you and me. He's saying that because unforgiveness destroys us from the inside out. And when Jesus says, hey, serve people, make that the ultimate goal of your life, that if you want to be great, it starts with putting your ego to the side and trying to live a more selfless life. He's not just saying that to put a burden on us, but he's saying life works better when you do that. And now today we can read all kinds of studies where it's like, hey, if you aren't a selfish jerk, you'll actually be happier. Like, wow, I think, you know, Jesus talked about that a long time ago. Revolutionary. But what we tend to do, or maybe if you're like me, is I like, instead of trying to bend my life to God's ideas, I like to try to bend God to my ideas. You with me on this? And I tend to fight these principles. It's kind of like when I was in high school, my senior year, we used to have this Mustang release, it was called. And you could get out of school an hour early, which is fantastic. But I lost that privilege for reasons we won't go into this morning. But I thought, you know, I didn't feel like it was right for me to lose that. So I thought, I'm going to keep releasing myself. So I did that for about 3 weeks, 4 weeks, until it caught up with me. And let me tell you, they did not allow that to be bent to me. They bent me back to that. And life is like that. Sometimes we are hitting a wall because we're trying to live life contrary to God says how it works best. And we're trying to bend his ideas to us. And the law of the harvest is one of those things. And so Paul says, look, here's how it works. Whether you want it to work like this or not, right? Gravity exists in the world whether we like it or not. And you can try to fight it and you can try to act like it's not there and you could try to defy it and all that kind of thing, but it's going to win every time. We're not going to overcome it. And the law of the harvest is the same way. We can wish it wasn't there. We can put our head in the sand and act like it doesn't exist. But at the end of the day, the law of the harvest is going to apply to our lives just as much as gravity does. Because God built it into the fabric of this world. You with me on this? So let's dig into what does the law of the harvest mean then? It means this, that we will only reap what we sow. There's no way to change that process. So in other words, if I'm a farmer and I go and I plant a bunch of corn, those corn seed are never going to grow into strawberries, right? Or if I go and I plant a bunch of soybean, they're never going to grow into cattle. This doesn't work like that. What you plant is what you reap. And the same ways in our life, if we sow a lot of anger and hate, it's never going to translate into a harvest of love and grace, right? If we sow a lot of disobedience towards God, it's never going to lead into a harvest of righteousness and glorifying him. If we sow into our selfish desires all the time, it's never going to then reap a life of meaningful relationships. Because there's no magic that can happen that can make a bad seed into a good one. You tracking with me? Pretty simple, right? Here's what else the law of the harvest means, that we are always sowing something. And there's no neutral in life. We're always actually sowing something, whether we realize it or not. We're always either allowing the law of the harvest to work for us or to work against us. And we cannot reap things that we did not sow. We're like, man, I want a great marriage. Guess what? You have to sow into it. I want a deep and meaningful relationship with God. We talked about that week one. It's not going to happen magically. It's going to happen through every day spending some time with him, learning, asking questions, growing. He's not going to wave a magic wand over us. And then we have this rich relationship. It's going to come through the law of the harvest. As we sow into it, then in time, we can reap it. And anything like that. I've sown into a lot of McDonald's Egg McMuffins with cheese. And you know what? I've reaped a great harvest from that. That one I actually don't regret at all. My heart might later. And here's the reality. If we don't like what we're reaping, friends, if we don't like what we're reaping in our lives, it's not the world's fault. It's not God's fault. We need to sow differently. And friends, how many times have we seen people and have we done it ourselves where we have created this life around us and we will be angry at everyone else except the one person we should be angry at, ourselves. And what is that ultimately when we're doing that? It's a rejection of the law of the harvest. We're saying, no, life should work different from this. I should be able to sow garbage and reap treasures. I should be able to sow whatever I want to sow and then reap whatever I want to reap. And Paul says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Life doesn't work that way. He hasn't created it. And so if we want to reap differently, it begins by saying, what am I sowing right now? And friends, again, the law of the harvest is either working for us or against us. It's either working, it'll either be our friend or it will undo us. I mean, we have seen probably in life people that they've just done a little bit every day and maybe reached places or changed in amazing ways over the course of time. And it was like compound interest. You know, they put a little investment, a little bit more every single day. And at first, it wasn't really noticeable. It didn't really take effect. But over time, it created tremendous change in their life. Or they reached great goals or whatever. And that's how it works. Or every day, we're making a little deposit in the wrong things. And then that too will yield a life where we get to, we'll be like, how did things get like this? I never thought I would be in this spot. And the reason we're in the spot is because we never paid attention to what we were sowing every single day. God says, look, I'm in control. I'm guiding the world. I have an eternal plan. But God also says, hey, I've given you some freedom to either make your life in accordance with my desires and my purposes, or you can mess it up too if you want. But it's about what you're sowing. Because the law of the harvest, at the end of the day, will win. And our lives will bend to it. We don't get to bend that. With me on that? All right, now let's talk about the second idea here. So then he takes this one step deeper, and this is so powerful. And the Apostle Paul says, he says, but nowhere is the law of the harvest more at effect than in your soul, than in your inner person. Look what he says here in verse 8. For the one who sows to his own flesh. Now, he doesn't mean our physical bodies. When we hear flesh, we think about skin and bones and muscles and tendons and organs, but that's not what he's talking about. When he uses this word flesh, he's talking about that part in all of us that's kind of hostile and resistant to God. Maybe you don't have that, but I definitely do. It's that part in all of us that whenever there's a noble ambition in my heart, it wants to destroy it. And whenever there's kind of good habits and patterns in my life, it wants to tear them apart. It's that selfish, irrational, destructive part within us that is always looking to undercut us in some way and always hostile to God. And Paul says, we all have it. And he calls it the flesh. And so he says, to the one who sows in the flesh, from the flesh, he will reap corruption. And this word corruption is really interesting because it's more than that. You could translate it deterioration. So he says, when we sow to the flesh, when we give into the flesh, when we respond to it, when we're like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go with this guy over here, the one that's selfish and resistant to God. I'm going to follow his lead today. When we do that, he says, then we begin to deteriorate our lives, which makes a lot of sense. When I think about my own life, I can see that happening. That when we honor the flesh, when we obey it, when we give into that side, the only thing we will ever reap from that is a more deteriorated life. Not a stronger one. Not a better one. Not a more rich one. But one that is worse off. But then on the other side, but the one who sows to the Spirit. Now this is the exact opposite of the flesh. This is God at work in us. When we sow to the Spirit, when we want Christ, because he says his Spirit lives in us, when we allow him to influence our thoughts and our habits and our attitudes and our actions, and when the cry of our heart is, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. Guide me, help me, direct me. And we seek the voice of the Spirit. We seek to honor the Spirit. He says, then we reap eternal life. We are revitalized. We are made stronger and better. Our life is more prepared for the eternal future that God has for us. And so he says, if you sow to the flesh, your life will deteriorate. If you sow to the Spirit, your life will continue to grow and expand and endure in really, really powerful ways. Now, let's dig into this a little bit more. What does it mean to sow to the Spirit? To sow to the flesh, again, is to follow those selfish impulses, those parts of us that just reject and are hostile to God. But what does it look like to sow to the Spirit? Let me just give you three ideas really quick. Number one, it looks like this. When you read all of Galatians, these couple passages, one of Paul's big ideas here is that when we sow to the Spirit, he says we're not living under the law. And when you first read that, you're like, Paul, what? How does this all connect? What are you talking about here? But what he's saying, I think, is something really profound. He said, sowing to the Spirit, it means we're connecting to God, with God, through Jesus Christ. And we're understanding that everything good in our life is a gift of grace. It's a gift of mercy. It's because God has treated us better than we deserve. And Paul says, when we're living in the flesh, we don't connect with God through Jesus Christ, but we connect with God through the law. Meaning either we're going to think it's stacking up my good deeds, making an impressive resume to impress God, and we're going to get all arrogant and hyper-religious and annoying and all those kinds of things, and we're going to relate to them in the wrong way. Or some of us, we respond to laws differently. We're not like, oh, I want to obey this law and rock it. We're like, I want to just break this law and go against it. And then we'll just go and totally reject God and do our own thing. But either way is a wrong mindset. And so Paul says, living in the Spirit is knowing who Christ is and what he's done and how that changes our relationship with God. And one of our deepest problems, whether we realize it or not, is we forget that salvation is a free gift. And I don't have to impress God. I don't have to work my way to God. I can receive that gift and I can experience the mercy of God and live from a different place. You with me so far? That's the first thing. It's actually spiritual. It's about how we connect to God. When we lose sight of Christ, we fall back into that flesh mindset, and we begin sowing into that. Here's the second thing. How do we sow to the Spirit? We allow Christ to influence our thoughts, actions, and habits. We allow Christ to influence our thoughts, actions, and habits. One of the things that the New Testament makes clear again and again, that sometimes our greatest enemy is our own mind. It's our own thinking patterns. It's what's going on in here. And one of the things the New Testament calls us to do again and again is to allow Christ to renew all that. Because we live from up here, don't we? That's the seeds of our actions and our habits and eventually the outcomes of our life. And so if we can begin to change up here, then everything else will change in our life. And so one of the ways we do that is we allow Christ, his ideas, his thoughts, his wisdom to influence our thoughts, which will influence our actions, which will create new habits, and which will create a new life. We look at everything. We say, is this the truth of Christ? Is this honoring to Christ? Is this what Christ is calling me to do? And we let him influence all that. And then third, we make war against the desires in us that war against Christ. How do we sow to the Spirit? We sow by allowing Christ to influence us, but then not allowing ourselves to be influenced by the brokenness within us. We make war against it. See, as followers of Christ, we're always in this process of change. We can never think, oh, I've arrived. I'm so mature. I'm really close to being everything God wants me to be. No, we've got to be more vigilant than that. We have to look at our soul and say, man, there's still tremendous progress that needs to be made. And there's still pride and envy and selfishness and all these things that live in me that through Christ's help, I need to continue to put those down so that they don't overcome me. One of my favorite quotes is by John Owen. He was a great theologian, but he says, be killing sin in your own life or it will be killing you. And his point is that we all have a tremendous ability to ruin our own lives. And we can blame everyone. We can play the blame game. But at the end of the day, Paul says, no, it's the law of the harvest. And if you're sowing into the flesh, it will deteriorate your life. But if you're sowing to the Spirit, it will create new life. And things will be so much different. Tracking with me? All right, last part. So what's the challenge of all this? Well, verse 9, look one more time at it. He says, so this really affects us internally, but then verse 9, and let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. Let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. I love that promise. Because here's what's the challenges with the law of the harvest. Is that you begin to sow to the Spirit. And you begin to make good changes in your life. And then some time passes and nothing really changes that much. And you're like, what the heck? It's been 3 days. Why is everything not different right now? You know, it's been 4 hours since I've been eating healthy. Why have I not lost any weight? And we begin to then give up. So we're like, this is too hard. This is too frustrating. But here's what the Apostle Paul says. He said, that's a challenge. But guess what? If you don't give up, you will reap a harvest. Because just like the law of the harvest will work against you, it will also work for you. Just like if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, no matter what, eventually you'll reap eternal life. It will work. The promise goes both ways. And so he says the challenge for us is to not get discouraged. It's easy to start But it gets hard right in that middle phase, doesn't it? Right when, like, you know, the excitement of starting has worn off, and now you're just in the grind. You can't see the finish line yet. You haven't seen the transformation you want. It still just doesn't look like the seeds are taking root. But Paul says, don't give up. They will. They are. There's things happening beneath the soil that you can't see. The good plant will poke through, and you'll have a good harvest if you don't give up. I love that promise. Friends, that is so true in your life and my life. If you're not harvesting what you want this morning, you have this incredible promise that you can change it with God's help. That today you can begin to sow differently. And if you keep doing that, eventually you'll reap a good harvest. Hal Moore was a great general in the army and won some pretty incredible victories in Vietnam. And if you've seen the movie We Were Soldiers, that whole movie's about him. But he has this principle of leadership, and here's what he says. There's always one more thing you can do to influence any situation in your favor. He said, there's always one more thing. There's always one more thing you can sow, one more change you can make, one more adjustment. And he says, and after that, there's one more thing. And his point is you can always sow differently. You can always begin to make one small change in your life. What I love about this is God doesn't say, hey, you've got to make this huge gap of change. But he says, just start right here. You're like, God, that just seems way too small. Don't you want me to at least like go to here? He's like, no, you can't do it. Just start right here. But if you stay here, over time, it will begin to make tremendous change in your life. And you will reap a great harvest. There's always one more thing we can do. No situation is hopeless. No situation is beyond God's ability to renew it and to redeem it. If we'll think differently. Jeff Olson, in his book, I love this. He says, the difficult is what takes a little time. The impossible is what takes a little longer. Come on, that's good stuff, people. The difficult is what takes a little bit of time. The impossible is what takes a little longer. Yes, change is difficult. Obeying the law of the harvest is hard. It causes us to rethink our lives, but it's not impossible. And what God wants to do in us, I believe, is better than even what we can think or imagine. But we've got to get in the game. And it's about what we do every day. It's about those little things, those thoughts, those habits that we're constantly sowing. You know, I love this idea for us as a church too. Because not only is this true on a personal level, but this is true for us as a church. We have the opportunity to sow into this community. We have the opportunity to every week and every year say, you know what, we are going to plant seeds of the gospel. We are going to plant seeds of hope. We are going to plant seeds of invitation. And over time, if we keep sowing and if we keep working at it, God can do something absolutely remarkable here that can be a game changer. And friends, we're going to do that this year. We're going to continue to do that. We're going to sow seeds that can create an incredible church here that for generations can reap a harvest for Jesus Christ. I told you a few weeks ago we're working on a new facility and a plan to create a facility here on this piece of property where for the next 10 and 20 and 30 and 40 years, there can be a place of hope here that generations can come to know Jesus Christ and grow in them here. And we get to sow that seed. We get to break that ground. It seems impossible. It seems difficult, but like Jeff Olson says, what's difficult takes a little bit of time, but the impossible takes a little bit longer. And friends, I want to be a church that sows great seeds with God and says, God, you're the Lord of the harvest. Use this to glorify your name. Use this to honor you. And we get to be part of that. John Wooden is one of my favorite kind of people in sports. You remember John Wooden? He won all those championships at UCLA in basketball and is probably the most winningest coach in all of college sports. And when he graduated high school, his dad gave him a piece of paper, and on it, it had this creed for life. This just, these are things to guide your life every single day. And here's what the creed is. Number one, he said, be true to yourself. Don't try to be someone you're not. Don't try to do something that God hasn't called or gifted you for. Be true to yourself. Number two, help others. Don't make life all about you. Three, he said, make each day your masterpiece. I love that. Every day, make it your masterpiece. Four, this one's good. Drink deeply from good books, especially the Bible. Come on now. John Wooden's dad, he's got it figured out. Five, make friendship a fine art. Six, build a shelter against a rainy day. And seven, pray for guidance and count and give thanks for your blessings every day. Said, son, if you do those, you'll sow a good seed. You'll reap a good harvest in life. And John Wooden said, since I received those, I try to do that every day. I try to do those things. He said, I haven't always lived up to it, but that's been my aim and my ambition. And what a difference it makes. So here's my challenge to you, friends. What do we need to sow every day at this point in our life? How do we need to sow differently so we can reap differently? And what might that harvest look like if we took every day and focused our life a little bit different? Let's pray. Father, would you help us, Lord, to understand and to internalize the law of the harvest? Father, help us to realize that although there are things that are outside of our control in life, there's also a lot of things in our control. And Father, it's easy to make excuses. It's easy to not take responsibility. It's easy to blame other people. It's easy to deny. It's hard to change. But Lord, we pray for the grace to change. We pray for the grace to just do every day a little bit different, to just begin to sow even these small changes in our life. And Lord, we pray you'd give us the perseverance. We pray you'd give us the discipline. We pray you'd give us the focus. We pray we would not give up. And at the proper time, we would reap a good harvest that honors you. And we ask for all this help in Jesus' good name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.